Amen. Amen. Well, I got a text from John late last night. He said, "Pastor, could you wear a black suit just in case one of the guys is sick tomorrow?" And so I put on green, bless God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you, guys. What a great job today. Welcome to every one of you. Take your Bible, go to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, and we're going to look there in just a few moments. These are always great days of gathering, and so many of our folk. Do you know, if we just kept everybody that ever joined this church from moving off and going somewhere, we'd have to build another building. But people come in and they go out and come in and go out, and then visitors come. I look all across this place. My good friend John Montgomery sits here today, and his sweet wife. I've got 106 Bibles in my office that he gave to me through the years, and so many others of you that are here. But my mom and dad are in this service today. Mom, Dad, just can you stand up? Yeah, Mom and Dad, are y'all just right there? My folks are here, and glad that they've joined us for the weekend, and will be back with us tomorrow at Christmas Eve and here through Christmas Day. So it's always great family time as we come together, and so many friends. No, Dr. Rose, but it's not Dr. Rose anymore. But anyway, Ed's daughter and Teresa's daughter in with us. I did so many people that I see. That's a lovely time of year that I enjoy getting to see a lot of old-timers that come back and in faithful people week by week. So thank you for being right here, and to our friends on the Warrington campus this day. We hope you'll take your Bibles and join along with us, and I look forward to being there with you tonight, 6 o'clock. Invite your friends, your neighbors to come for that candlelight service, and it's going to be a glorious night down on our Warrington campus as we gather there tonight. So you join me right there, and I look forward to being there preaching in that evening service. Stars. A message that I simply entitled, "A Star is Born." I went to the movie a few days ago. I walked in, I said, it's a big sign that said that it was a new movie coming out, "A Star is Born." I said, they stole my title. I went back and looked at it. That's the fourth remake of that movie from 1937 when "A Star is Born" was first came out, about a country singer that met a rock star, and she went up and he went down, and I just found out a little bit about it. A star is born. Stars are important this time of year more than any other. But we talk about stars a lot. We've just come through college football recruiting season. How many stars you got? You got a 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, no star. The question is, are you going to be a star one day? You go to Hollywood and you find those stars that are there inlaid into the concrete, and people see that, and the stars are there. There's stars that are all around us. You go downtown. I was walking, Liz and I went for our anniversary to have dinner a few days ago, and there are some stars inlaid in the concrete in Pensacola. They have stars. It's not because you could sing, it's because you wrote a check. And those are stars that have helped with what's going on downtown, and grateful for that. But the stars, this is an important time about, so you see them. You saw them in the video, those stars that were everywhere. The wise men, we're going to talk about that a little bit, the stars that are there. Well, a star is born. And this Christmas Tuesday is when we think of the birth of Christ. Now, there's some people who say, well, you know, it was not the 25th of December, and it was not. It was not this season of the year. It would have been earlier in the year when Jesus was born, but this has become that time, and I've had people come and say, well, we shouldn't have trees and do all that. We shouldn't even celebrate. We don't know. And well, just because you don't know the day doesn't mean you shouldn't celebrate that he came. And so this becomes the season that we do it, and so we try to capture that and celebrate. A star was born, and that star still lives. Stars, they're interesting when you look at it. A star is an astronomical object consisting of a luminous spheroid of plasma held together by its own gravity. Now, the nearest star to us today is the sun. A star's life begins with the gravitational collapse of a gaseous nebula of material composed primarily of hydrogen along with helium and trace amounts of some heavier elements. When the stellar core is sufficiently dense, hydrogen becomes steadily converted into helium through nuclear fission, releasing energy into the process. The remainder of the star's interior carries energy away from the core through a combination of radiative and convective heat transfer processes. And the star's internal pressure prevents it from collapsing further into its own gravity, and thus a star is born. Now, don't you want to shout hallelujah when you hear that? You just take them for granted, don't you? But they begin. They are birthed. Well, in Scripture, the word star is very important. And we're going to find it in three places this morning when we talk of Jesus being the star. Now, let me tell you, He's the star of this gathering today. I met a little 4-year-old girl this week coming out of my wife's Sunday school class, and she looked up at me and she said these words, "You're the boss of big church, aren't you?" I said, "There she is, a prophetess right there, that little girl." I walked away. I thought, less than you know, darling, less than you know. Hey, I'm not the star of the show here. John's not the star of the show here. It's all about him. He's the star, and it's his birth that we are exalting and lifting up and looking into today. So I want to show you three truths about the stars today, and focusing from that on the star, who is Jesus the Christ. Number one would be what I call the miracle of his coming. Over in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, you find three prophecies given by the prophet Balaam. Now, you remember Balaam. Balak, the king of Moab, had asked him. Matter of fact, he didn't just ask him. He tried to hire him. He said, "I'll give you a large sum of gold if you will curse Israel." Well, Balaam, who we know as sometimes true and often a false prophet, said, "No, I won't take your love offering." And on three occasions, he came saying some things about Israel. Now, the most famous of those is when his donkey talked. Remember? Balaam's donkey talked to him, ran him up against a rock, and he cursed him, and the donkey spoke to him. But when we come to the last of the three prophecies of Balaam, we find one verse in Numbers 24, verse 17, which is absolutely a remarkable prophecy. And here's what that old prophet said in Numbers 24, 17. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, a scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down the sons of Sheth." A star will come forth, and he's coming forth out of Jacob. 1,500 years later, magi, wise men, astronomers, whatever you want to call them, in the east, they saw a star.
How did they know the star would lead to the Son of God? They knew the prophecy of the book of Numbers, chapter 24 and verse 17, that a star would come forth. They knew more than most Baptists know of the Old Testament. They said a star is going to come forth out of Jacob, and this star got their attention. And in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says that these men saw the star, and the star led them to come to speak to Herod. And Herod then called people together and said, look in that old book, what is it that you believe? They said, it's going to be in Bethlehem. We find it over in Micah. He's going to be born in a little, he's going to be in Bethlehem. And the wise men went, and the star appeared again and came to rest over a shed out back, because there was no room. And it was there that Mary, you see the head and the shoulders, finally the hips and the feet of the Son of God. And they laid him in a manger. Mary, the Holy Spirit came upon her. She was a virgin. You say, preacher, that can't work. It does when God shows up. And let me tell you, if you can understand everything about your God, you got a God that doesn't qualify. The miraculous of God is folly to the natural man. The natural man thinks he knows everything about everything and everybody that has been or will be. Little does he know he'll die dead and become dust again. The birth of the star of heaven had to be miraculous, because if his birth is not a miracle, your second birth would never be a miracle. No man can do for you what only Jesus can do for you. Don't back up. Do not shy away from the supernatural. We live in a day when we think we understand more than we really do. God is still far above our ways. The song that we just did a few minutes ago asked the question of Romans 11 and the doxology of it. Who can give counsel to God? I meet people all the time. Say, Pastor, can you recommend a counselor? Can you recommend a counselor again? I recommend counselors all the time. I'm not much of a counselor. I do counsel some. I have people come and I try to help them. My main tactic of counsel is, that's a sin, stop it, but I'm not real good. You need a counselor, somebody to help you get the roots out from under those limbs and take you to where you need to go. Who's ever counseled God? Nobody in this world counsels God. His ways are above our ways. His wisdom is, the Bible says in Romans 11, unfathomable. You can't get to the bottom of it. His ways above ours. The bottom is below us. Hear me, dear friend. The star spoke of the miracle of his coming 1,500 years before he arrived. It was prophesied. And the Magi saw the star, and there was the Christ. And somebody wrote a song. Anytime something happens in this world, somebody writes a song. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you? She didn't know. But he was. He was. The very Son of God. It was the miracle of his coming. That's where we find the star. But now, secondly, in the Word of God, when we run to the New Testament, we find the miracle not only of his coming, but the miracle of his coming in. Take your Bible and go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Listen to it. Here it is up on the screen. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises where? In your hearts. Pay attention to the morning star until it arises in your heart. We see the miracle of his coming. That's his virgin birth. Then we see the miracle of his coming in. That is your soul salvation. It is when the morning star arises in your heart. Listen to me, way up there on the top row. Hey, 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 way up. Can you take me to a place and tell me of a time when Jesus came into your life and the day star arose in your heart? I stood right back here, little girl, just for the early church. She said, Pastor, I want to be baptized tomorrow night. You're baptized. I said, yes. She said, when? I said, 6 o'clock. I'm going to baptize. And people that have trusted Christ, they'll come, and I'll stand right there in that water, and I'll baptize. We got several waiting, and we'll baptize them tomorrow night, 6 o'clock service. She said, I want to be one of those. I said, wonderful. I said, have you trusted Jesus? Is the day star arisen in your heart? She took me to a place and told me of a time a year ago when she gave her heart and life to Christ. Just, she looked at me then. She said, I was sprinkled when I was a baby, but I need to be baptized. I started to call her up here to give a testimony this morning. See, when you're sprinkled as a baby, that's something your mom and daddy did for you. When you're baptized on your own volition, that's something you do when you follow after Christ. It's when the day star rises, that morning star rises up in your heart. It's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. He said, for God said, light shall shine out of darkness. Is the one who shone in where? He shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He rises in our heart. He shines into our heart. He comes into our heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, I pray. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart today. Come in to stay. It's Sunday morning. It's early church. I dare say most people in here just glance over this point and say, well, you know, Pastor, I know. Do you? Go like this if you know when you trusted him. All right, turn to your neighbor and tell them when it was. Just right now, tell them. Jamie, you tell your hug. Just tell them. See, I don't have anybody sitting. Well, hug yourself, tell yourself. Say, preacher, I don't have a testimony. Well, then in a moment when I give the invitation, I want you to walk right down here and ask God to let the day star rise in your heart. Two years ago, on our 25th anniversary, well, it's been 3 years now, you were so gracious, you gave to Liz and myself a trip to Europe. We started in London, went into Churchill's bunker. It's a brand new biography out by Churchill. One of our church members says they're going to give it to me for Christmas. I'm waiting breathlessly. It has not arrived yet. Maybe today's the day. We went into Churchill's bunker. Oh my, the history that's there. Ed Rose gave me a book I've been reading about Churchill. We left there and went to the beaches of Normandy. Sacred ground. We were there at the end of the day at that cemetery when they played Taps and lowered that flag and everybody froze. Nobody didn't pitch a fit nor have a scene. You just stood as Old Glory came down on foreign soil. We left there and we made our way north. We took a tour of the great pulpits of Europe. We stopped here and there in Spurgeon's pulpit and this pulpit. We got to Wesley's. I'm wearing, because of this illustration, cufflinks this morning with the crest of Wesley. I bought these at Aldersgate. It was May 24, 1738. In this very room, it's been updated a little bit, but this was the room where John Wesley, who was a very religious man, came for a Bible study, and they read the works of Martin Luther on the Epistle to the Romans. And as they read that night, May of 1738, Wesley said, now don't miss it, he had been preaching some. He said, my heart was strangely warmed when I trusted Christ alone for my salvation. And he marked his day of his salvation when the day star arose in his heart, when Jesus stepped into his heart, when he said, my heart was strangely warmed. And the Methodist Church was born. Much of the hymnal was born. Wesley, in that little room, they wouldn't let me all the way in it. It had a gate there, but I took that picture. I took that on my phone. Just looking in on holy ground where one of the great preachers, evangelists, hymn writers, denominational leaders said, my heart was strangely warmed. You want to know why there's so many cold-hearted Baptists? That's because their heart's never been strangely warmed. You know why there's some Baptists mean as hell? It's because the light of heaven's never come on their heart. Friend, you got to be more than a Baptist to know him. Ben Shetler is one of our fine young men here, an evangelist, travels the world. He put a picture on Facebook yesterday. It's up in, I think, Greenville, Alabama on 65. If you've ever gone that way, you've seen that sign. It's out there with that old paddle wheel. Said, go to church or the devil will get you. You got the devil out there with a pitchfork, like that's some good theology. I posted on there, it said, go to church and the devil will get you. I said, I've seen people go to church and the devil get them in church. Why? Because the devil's crowd shows up in church. And their heart's never been strangely warm. They're lost members of ecclesiastical gatherings that need a Savior. They need the day star that we celebrate. The one that came 2,000 years ago. We need him to arise in our heart, whether you're a little girl, 10, 11 years old, whether you're 25, whether you're 50 and making more money than you've ever made in your life, whether you're in the sinking years of your life, you need to know him. There's a lost man been coming to church here. He's an old man. He's an old man. He drove by here the other day, and word came to me. He said, Pastor, this guy asked me, he said, does it do you any good to join that church? That was an old lost man's question. To which the man's with him, he told him, he said, well, joining the church won't help you. But if you'll come to the Christ of the church, he'll change your life and save your soul. Then you can join the church and be a good member rather than one of those backslid kind. Rather than an old carnal lost member. Oh, that the day star might rise in our heart. There's the miracle of his coming. We celebrate that this season of year. There's the miracle of his coming in. How about you? How about you? Can you take me to a place, tell me of a time? And then thirdly, Robert prayed about it. There's the miracle, not only of his coming, not only the miracle of his coming in, there's the miracle of his coming back. The day star's coming back. In Revelation chapter 22. Take your Bible. You go there to the book of Revelation. We're going to look at several verses, but look in chapter 22 and verse number 16 where the Bible says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David. I am the bright and morning star. And that whole text is about his coming again, because he says in verses 7, 12, and 20, I am coming quickly, I am coming quickly, I am coming quickly. He says it three different times in Revelation 22, verse 7, verse 12, verse 20. I'm coming quickly, I'm coming quickly, I'm coming. Who's coming? I'm telling you, bless God, the bride and morning star. He's coming quickly. Verse 14 says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Friend, when Jesus comes, there's going to be some that's got their robes washed white and they're going in. Anybody here going in? If you're going in, say amen. I'm telling you, I'm going in when he comes back. I'm going in. But verse 15 says, outside are the dogs and the cats and the sorcerers. Well, cats is not in there, but outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Let me tell you, friend, when Jesus comes back, ain't everybody running in. Some gonna be left outside when he comes again. He's coming quickly. When he comes, you better be right. You better be right. You say, I don't believe he's the Son of God. Well, you better be right. I don't think Jesus is the only way. Well, you better be right. I don't think there's really a heaven, and you better be right. He's coming quickly. When he comes, you better be right. Not only you better be right when he comes, you better be ready when he comes. I mean, you better be ready, ready. I've used this illustration to you before. My mother-in-law, bless her heart, is in the nursing home up in North Alabama. She used to say all the time, we'd have dinner at her house. She'd say, no, it's ready, and we'd just sit there. In a moment, she had finally come around the corner, and she'd say, you better come on now, it's ready, ready. What that meant is on the table getting cold. Let me tell you, friend, when Jesus comes, you better be ready, ready. You don't have time to think about it. You say, well, I'm just going to wait till I hear the trumpet. Let me tell you, friend, when you hear the trumpet, it's over. I'm going to preach about Gabriel tonight and tomorrow. You find him in Daniel, find him in the Gospel of Luke. Gabriel's Old Testament and New Testament. When he blows his trumpet, when he comes, you best be ready, because the bright morning star ...1977. 1 year after Liz and I married, we moved to Texas. Southwestern Seminary. 77, 78. And finally in 1979... we graduated. First Baptist Church of Henrietta, Texas called me to be their pastor. On Thanksgiving of 1978, their pastor resigned, walked out the door, got in a moving truck where he already had his stuff packed up and his wife was waiting, and he got in the truck and they drove out of town. I knew the minister of music there, John, and Skip called me. He said, our preacher left today. I said, he resigned? Yeah. I said, well, how's it going? He said, no, I mean he left today. He said, we need a preacher next Sunday. I said, well, I can come. I was a student. I went there and the first Sunday of December, preached for them, stayed 7 years. It's a pastor at the First Baptist Church of Henrietta, Texas. It's about 200 miles northwest of Dallas-Fort Worth. There's a football conference out there called the Big Sky Conference. I know why they call it that. Because when you walk outside in Henrietta, Texas, Ooh-wee. They have more sky than we have, because it goes all the way to the ground, because there's nothing on the ground. So when it goes to the tree line, no, there's no tree line. There's some little scrubby bushes, but ooh, it goes. And on a clear winter night, Lord, it gets cold in North Texas. My dad's here. He asked me when he came to visit the first time. He said, "Does the wind ever lay down out here?" I said, "It is right now." He said, "Oh, my Lord." One old Texan told me there was nothing in February between North Texas and the North Pole but a barbed wire fence, and it was laying on the ground. Oh, would it get cold. But when it was the coldest in winter, I'd take me a blanket out in the yard. I'd lie down on my back, and it looked like diamonds on black velvet. Stars everywhere. You can't see them like that here. There's too many lights in town. But when you go out on the edge at Henrietta, where there's nothing but you and cows and coyotes, I know it's coyote, but it's coyote in Texas. Oh, it was just lights. Then you'd see it once every time. Shoo! Somebody say, "What's that?" That's a shooting star. Well, it's really not. It's a meteor. It's a piece of dirt that ran into the Earth's atmosphere is what it is, but it looks like a star. Shoo! And every time I'd see one of those, I'd think, "He's coming back." And then I'd be reminded, if you saw it, it's too late. I'd see those stars. And it always made me think of the wise men. You know, we don't know how many they were. We don't know if they were on camels, just the Magi. But they saw a star. And the Bible says that after they saw it, they followed it. Listen to me, friend. You may know who Jesus is, but if you hadn't followed Him, you're not ready for heaven. You must see the star, then follow the star. They came to Herod. Herod said, "Well, which way did it go?" To Bethlehem. He said, "Come back and tell me where the child is." They didn't do it. Friend, not only must you see the star and follow the star, you need to defend the star. Oh, yes. When others say Jesus is not, you, if you follow Him, you say, "Oh, yes. I lift Him up." And then the Bible says that when the star stopped over the place where Mary was, they went in. And the Bible says they quit looking at that star and they put their eyes on the star of the Messianic show and fell on their faces and worshiped Him. You're not fit for heaven till you fall on your face and worship Him. Tuesday, when you get your family together and eat all that ham and turkey and pecan pie, pause and worship Him. That old drunk uncle needs it. That lost cousin. Well, they've come to your house. Worship Him. Lift Him up. Christmas. It's a Catholic word. It's the Mass of Christ, worship of Christ. We don't have Mass. I have people in this town all the time ask me this. They say, Father Traylor, what time is Mass at Olive? That's what they ask me. I said, we shall gather at 9:30. They come looking for holy smoke, I try to give it to them. Amen. You got to fall on your face and worship Him. I said, preacher, you're going to get in trouble with the Catholic. I already got in trouble with the Jews last week. I had the rabbi call me this week. It's all right. It's all right. We don't meet here to be popular. We meet here to lift Him up. And then the Bible says, after they fell on their face and worshiped Him, they opened up their coat. Then they brought gold. They brought frankincense. Myrrh. Oh, there's all kind of preaching in that. They're about to get Jesus out of there because Herod's going to try to kill Him, and they got to get to Egypt. How'd they get there? They got there by the Magi's love offering. How'd they live in Egypt? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. How's the church go forward? Your gold, your frankincense, your myrrh. How's this church do its works? When we fall and worship, then we give, and the church goes forward. 11 o'clock today. You ought to hang around. If I were you, I'd stay for the first 5 minutes of second church. We're going to baptize a Chinese lady at 11 o'clock. I came out of my office the other day. We'd led a girl to the Lord in my office, talk to her about her salvation, and I had to run. It was Thursday. I was off. I wasn't even supposed to be here. And I walked down the hall, and I heard in the chapel over there, I heard this. I said, what in the world? I looked in, and there's three ladies. Two Chinese ladies and an interpreter. And they're going back and back and back. And I said, what's going on in here? They said, Pastor, come in, meet your new sister. She couldn't speak a word of English. I couldn't speak a word of Chinese. But we're going to the same heaven because she had just prayed to receive the Christ that I know. She said, yes, we're going to baptize her. It's going to take an interpreter to baptize her. And so we'll do that. That's what keeps us. That's what we do. Your goal, your frankincense, your it keeps the church running forward. So we can do the work that God's called us to do. The stars. You ever hear the phrase, my stars? We say stuff like that. What we really ought to be saying is, oh, my star.